Defense leaders today freely admit that the department was grossly unprepared for the extent to which it would need to rely on service contractors to prosecute the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. In part, they blame the fact that the wars lasted much longer than they were supposed to. But DOD also says it's clear that it won't ever go into a contingency operation again without a big contingent of contractors. So it needs to institutionalize contracting expertise into the way it plans operations and trains its people. The Commission on Wartime Contracting reached a similar conclusion last year when it concluded DOD had wasted at least $31 billion to contracting waste and fraud. Alan Estevez is DOD's Assistant Secretary for Logistics and Material Readiness. He says there's no disputing things were bad.
You know, if you asked me where we are on operational contract support, I would say, you know, 5 years ago we had a gaping wound, self-inflicted as it may be. We staunched the bleeding, we sutured it up. The scar tissue is healing, but what we haven't done is embedded it in the DNA and in the muscle memory. That's what we are striving to do, and that's what we must succeed in doing in order to have a swing to the Pacific or anywhere else in the world for that matter, and I think we're on the course to do that.
Operational contract support is DOD's relatively new construct to manage and train for contingency contracting so that it's treated as a critical warfighting capability in the future, not merely an inconvenient and expensive afterthought once troops get where they're going. After a series of discussions and memos coming from the level of the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff aimed at creating a new focus on the importance of contingency contracting to warfighting, Estevez told the House Armed Services Committee the department is beginning to see evidence of a culture change.
As an example, within the first day after the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear reactor failure in Japan, Pacific Command established Air Force as the lead service for contracting. This meant that all forces deploying to Japan had a clear understanding of the contracting authority and would not be competing against each other for scarce resources, a critical lesson that we learned from our experiences in Central Command. Notably, the first operations order issued by Pacific Command in response to this disaster was the operations order establishing this contracting command relationship.
Top DOD acquisition officials say they're working to instill the idea throughout the department that contingency contracting is a military commander's responsibility. Estevez says now contracting guidance for Afghanistan comes straight from Marine Corps General John Allen, the commander of the International Security Assistance Force.
Because it's part of his effort to win that fight in Afghanistan. That needs to go into our military education process and our civilian education process related to military, in fact. And that's what we're working to do, is embed that in courseware. So as today junior officers go through their paces as they grow into senior officers, that becomes part of their process. When I deploy, I'm going to have contractors with me. Contractors can help me win the fight, or they can impede me. I need to manage them to help me win the fight. And the fact that Dr. Carter or General Dempsey is saying that today, which they are, you know, they're transitory, I'm transitory, we need to have that into the workforce and to the military force for the future.
Brigadier General Craig Crenshaw, a vice director for the Joint Staff's Logistics Branch, says DOD is also at the beginning of a nascent effort to incorporate contracting into specific operational planning.
We have instituted training within our various exercises to really to include training as we conduct our OPLAN exercise as well. This is an opportunity for one to get it from a strategic level of focus and then implement it during the exercises. The exercises create scenarios where our contractor planners can really exercise what does it take. It's built off of different types of scenarios based on a particular OPLAN. We're not there yet, but I think the idea that we now have any discussion and really I put some things on paper, and to the extent of being able to exercise it within the last couple of years, we're headed in the positive directions.
Outside observers like the Congressional Research Service and the Government Accountability Office say DOD is definitely on the right track, but it's too early to tell if the Iraq and Afghanistan lessons will bear fruit in future operations. Moshe Schwartz, a specialist in defense acquisition at CRS, says one problem is the relatively short rotations that contract managers and overseers serve overseas.
And so often someone who gets to theater, who has never engaged in a counterinsurgency operation, it takes them a learning curve. And they say, oh, I get it. I see what's going on. And now I'm 3 months from going home. And then someone else comes in who may not have had that learning curve. That definitely has an impact of the ability for continuity in some of these common sense issues. For example, contracting in wartime is fundamentally different than contracting in peacetime. So someone who has done contracting for years and years here to build a road is thinking cost, schedule, performance. Then they get to Afghanistan, and in the beginning they're thinking perhaps cost, schedule, and performance, and wait, stealing the goods. We can't take them to court. What effect is this having on the local village? And when they start getting up to speed, as I mentioned, they start rotating back.
That's one challenge, Schwartz says. A second has to do with a shortage of on-the-ground experience with contracting, period.
Sometimes you have personnel who, because of the rotational policy, don't have the experience in that area. When I was in Afghanistan last summer, a former Hilo pilot was working on contracting strategy. He had never done that before. Incredibly talented individual, but it took him also some time to get up to speed. So I think that is one factor that makes a difference. I think the other factor sometimes is just simply exposure to the magnitude of what one might be dealing with.
And Tom DiNapoli, the Director for Acquisition and Sourcing Management at GAO, says the lessons learned aren't just valuable for future conflicts. He says one near-term opportunity is for DOD to take the contracting lessons learned from the actual withdrawal of troops from Iraq and apply them to the similar withdrawal that will happen over the next 2 years in Afghanistan, both as DOD uses contracts to manage its exit from the country and closes out contracts it will no longer need.
When you look, especially now in Afghanistan, as we're drawing down and having our forces think about consolidating our bases, this is time that we should learn from our lessons in Iraq. About this 27-month period out, we were really unprepared in Iraq to think about what our requirements were. And so we tasked the contracting folks in Iraq to come up with those requirements, and that was the wrong thing to do. What we needed to do is to ask our warfighters, our base commanders, what are the services that we need, what are the contractors performing it, and obtain the data and information needed so that we can figure out what our next drawdown. That's what we need to do in Afghanistan.
Crenshaw says that's just what DOD is trying to do. He says U.S. Forces Afghanistan has already established a special cell to manage the drawdown of contractors from the country.
And again, this takes into account all of the lessons learned from Iraq. They have asked for a transition working group where they show how the same type of process where DOD and DOS did a transition to Iraq. They asked for a working group that really going to address those elements as well. The bottom line is that we are looking at the lesson learned from Iraq, a lot of good lessons learned, and we have established processes that's going to allow us, hopefully, certainly not to have the same type of issue as before.
Still, Estevez says, that thought-out approach to contingency contracting is not yet embedded into the military's planning, training, and doctrine for the future. That, he says, is the next step. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.